I think that Trump is much more beneficial for Israel, especially. He's going to not only America, he's going to make Israel great again.
Lina Otgor, FSRN, West Jerusalem.
This Saturday, October 29th, Portland's outdoor kindergarten and primary school will host the Enchanted Forest Halloween event. The event will take place from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Jean's Farm in southeast Portland. It is recommended for kids age 2 to 8, and costumes are encouraged. KBOO spoke with one of the organizers of the event.
Tell us about the Enchanted Forest event that's taking place this weekend.
Oh, it is such a beautiful event. So what happens is the children arrive and they are led through a path through Jean's farm and forest. And along the way, they're going to be stumbling across all sorts of magical creatures who have bits of wisdom and also gifts to offer them. And it's a beautiful kind of alternative to trick-or-treating. And the kids still... they get all this magic of Halloween, and it's in the forest, and it's not so candy-focused. And there's a huge garden, and we're also going to have fired up the Cobb oven, so we'll be toasting up some special treats.
And what age children would you recommend this activity for?
I would recommend it from anywhere from 2 to 8, I would say.
Do people need to sign up in advance?
Yes, please go to MotherEarthSchool.org, and there's a link there for you to buy tickets. And this event is on Saturday, this coming Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and you can sign up for a tour slot within that time range.
And it's part of the Mother Earth School. I wonder if you could tell about that. It's pretty unique in that it's an outdoor school here in the Portland area.
Yes, Mother Earth School is a Waldorf-inspired, all-outdoor school. We have preschool through third grade, and I believe that it was the first one in the United States. So we actually have families coming from all over the U.S. and even sometimes internationally.
And you have some structures to keep out the rain sometimes.
Yeah, we have a covered outdoor kitchen, and we also have a greenhouse. So they're never really just completely out getting soaked for a long time.
Again, I've been speaking with Isabel Charlet, a teacher at the Mother Earth School and a former KBOO volunteer. Thanks, Isabel.
Thanks, Jinka.
Again, that website, MotherEarthSchool.org. For KBOO News, I'm Jenka Soderberg.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast. We encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our producer for tonight's newscast is Sam Bowman. We'd like to give special thanks to Free Speech Radio News and to the Oregon News Service. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOONEWS. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncord.
And I'm Sam Bowman. We have a correction. The 7 to 8 hour tonight will not be Guess Who's Coming to Radio. It will be the Indigenous Power Hour Mix. That's tonight from 7 to 8. And coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting, Graham Russell of RightsAction.org will guest host Linda Olson Osterlund to talk about the current crisis in Honduras and other Central American nations. At 9, One Land, Many Voices looks at the actions of the Portland State University Student Senate, which passed a resolution to divest from the Israeli military occupation. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Pacific Underground presents an encore broadcast of a program on the topic of fitting in. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Davey D from Hard Knock Radio talks with rank-and-file members of the Oakland Black Panther Party about history and its connection to the present.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. As we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we've been talking with a lot of people. You've been hearing a lot of speeches and interviews. I wanted to talk to folks, not just the leadership, but rank and file and folks who were putting in work and still put in work. Got a couple of sisters here in front of me, Sister Tarita, Sister Judy, health worker, the author, professors. You all are doing it. You all are still on the front line. But I'll start off with you, Sister Tarita. First of all, happy 50th anniversary. And did you think that you would be celebrating 50 years of the Black Panthers?
When you're in the midst of doing what you have to do, you don't think. You just know that it has to be done. And you're in it to do what has to be done at that time. I didn't look ahead.
Well, what I mean by that is, like, I know you said when you're in the middle of it, there's a struggle obviously going on now. And I think many of us who are involved in it think and imagine, like, what it's going to be like when this struggle doesn't have to happen. And so in that respect, when you all were on the front lines doing what you were doing, did you imagine that there would be a world where there wouldn't have to be a struggle in 2016?
I suppose that was the hope. You know, we had life light in our eyes, as Sonia Sanchez would say. We had life light in our eyes. So we continued, we'd move forward. I mean, at some point, you know, you look to have a big family and, you know, just live a life that I saw my parents have, you know, have a garden, canned food during the summer and have friends over. You thought of some type of normalcy, something that would bring back that which you really wanted in life that didn't entail so much violence and hatred toward your people. You just thought you'd be able to live and just be at some point. Yeah, we thought that.
And here we are 50 years later,
right,
still with some of the same issues. Sister Judy, first of all, tell everybody your last name. And second thing, same questions to you.
Yes.
How do you feel after 50 years?
Okay, so I'm Judy Juanita. And at that time, I was Judy Hart. And so I never, I didn't think 50 years ahead for sure. However, I did write a really short poem, which I can recite if I can remember it. At 10, I saw my people. At 10, I saw angels fall and cried. At 20, I saw my people fall and cried. At 30, when I see my children, I will not cry. So I was 20 years old writing that. So I was envisioning a future with children and mm-hmm. and that we would be living, like Tarita said, lives with dignity. Mm-hmm. I just wanted the police brutality and the police oppression to stop. When I got into the Black Panther Party and I was very active as a student at San Francisco State, then my eyes were open to oppression and decades of oppression. So yes, I wanted that to end.
When you look at what's going on now, do you have any concern that the future generation, your kids, grandkids, and the generations that they belong to, did they do the job that they're supposed to do in picking up the torch and finishing the work?
That's somewhat difficult because the other that we're dealing with is always very much aware of how we came to be. They're always studying how we came to be such fighters and survivors for our community. So if we, when we send our children to those who wish to change that, there are things that can take place. That's why we always have to be in touch with the youth to ensure that these things will continue. So there will be struggles generation to generation for us to maintain as we educate our youth about what needs to take place for survival.
So in other words, if I'm hearing this correctly, there's been some interference to erase some of the history.
Oh, yes.
And give people a false sense of, well, we got it made, or a false sense of we're inventing something that you all didn't do.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's where we are right now, because you can see it in the children's eyes. We always talk about the dots not connecting. They can use words that have some type of emotional power, but they don't see how those words work.
Sister Judy, Juanita, how are you seeing it? And I'm asking this because you actually teach.
Yes.
So you're in front of generations of people. Do you look? And, you know, and not to, you know, I mean, when you get older, sometimes you want to be like, when I was a kid, this is what we did. But when you're working with the students, you really get to see their struggles up close and personal and see where they're at and gauge the proverbial temperature in the room.
I was amazed, thank you, when I heard Oprah Winfrey say, one of the days of the opening of that museum in D.C., she said, oh, there's an Emmett Till every day now. And, you know, she was referring to the brutal police murders and cop killings going on. So I think that our children are exposed to instant history. It's being created right in front of them. I think it's very shocking. And I think people are shell-shocked in a way. However, when people are shell-shocked, then there's always the rude awakening. And that's what's happening, is that our students, my students, I can see it. And I feel it's happening with the young people, is they are being made aware of the oppressive nature of the police system, the systemic police brutality. However, they don't always know what to do. They don't always know what to do. And that's when they begin seeing, they look at their leaders are not civil rights leaders like ours were. We had such an assortment of civil rights leaders. But their leaders are more like they're rock stars and they're hip-hop stars. So it's very interesting when those people do take action, like what Beyonce did at the Super Bowl, you know, with the Panther display, that it causes such ripples in society. But while it's causing ripples in society, it's also causing ripples in the minds of the young. So I think they are getting one by one, little by little, rude awakenings that, oh, the system has a big cancer and it has to be operated on.
You were going to say something.
Yes, I work with youth teaching poetry and have done so close to 30 years. So I get to see what children are processing and how they're assessing their environment as I get them to write about what they feel and see. And some of our children are in PTSD mode, and they are being treated in the public school systems as though they're just non-feeling human beings, and they're not being addressed according to what trauma took place the night before or is that morning, or, you know, just all these things are just not addressed. So having them to address that in poetry and in their lives.
You know, it's interesting as you speak, because the night before, as we're doing this interview, four people were shot in San Francisco at a high school.
Yes.
And the treatment around it, even how it's couched and explained, is very different than when it hits the majority culture, when it hits white folks, in my opinion. That's traumatic, and I'm sure all of you all have dealt with people who have gone through that, how that impacts, how it sticks with you. But it seems like it's almost business as usual. And I don't hear the words, you know, of how do we nurture and care. I hear, well, we're going to send some more cops to the school. And, right. You know, it's more of a punitive type of thing.
So true. I mean, that you have Cole Middle School in West Oakland now has police cars out there as though, you know, I don't want you to feel or be aware of the trauma, your sense activity. We just want you to stop misbehaving and not just deal with sending someone there to help them relieve this trauma. It's just poetry, I feel, is the best, one of the best things I've been told by teachers in the classroom that they can release. And yeah.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground Grad School. Classes that begin in November include What's the Buzz About Bees, Criminal Law, Rewilding 201, and more. Portland Underground Grad School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, teaching classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This Saturday, October 29th, KBOO is happy to co-sponsor the Enchanted Forest